Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on 11A, that's Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and we are continuing with a series of reports by the Gemara about how various Amoraim, about how various Talmudic sages would introduce their classes or their drushas about the Megillah. So each one of them, rather than beginning by talking about the Megillah, they would quote a verse from somewhere else in Tanakh, which is kind of like an opener. Like they would open with a verse in Tanakh, they would connect it to the Purim story, and then they would begin to teach the Megillah. So the Gemara is bringing all of these here because it's also about to begin an elucidation of the Megillah, and it's telling us how all the sages would introduce them, and there's quite a lot of them. I think in the end I count 17 of them. We're up to the 7th right now. So I will say that there are a lot of verses in this section of the tractate, this Amud particularly. It is definitely helpful either to have a Tanakh that you can flip from citation to citation, or at least if you have the full psukim on the side of your Gemara that you can refer to them. Otherwise, it's very hard to keep up. And they're short pieces. So we were getting three lines from the top. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, patach la pitcha, he opened up his teaching. He opened up an opening, laha parshata, for this parsha. That is the Megillah, Mehacha, from this verse. And he's quoting a verse from Tehillim chapter Samach Vav, the 66th Psalm. And it says, Hir kavta enosh l'roshenu, you made a human being master over our heads. Banu ba'esh uvamayim, we came in fire and in water. So this is a description of how various nations of the world would rule us. So when it says that we were ruled by fire, ba'esh bimei Nebuchadnezzar, we were ruled with fire in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He burned down the Beit HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Uvamayim, and when were we ruled by water? Bimei Paro, we were ruled by water in the times of Paro. It could be because Paro said that we should throw all the babies into the Nile. But anyway, it identifies those two tyrants as the Mayim and the Aish. And that's how he begins talking about the tyrants. And it doesn't connect directly to Purim, those two. But there is one additional section of the verse that they didn't quote in the beginning, which is, Vatotienu lirvaya, and we were taken out into rivaya is like satiety. It's like an overflowing cup. A kosi rivaya, my cup overflows. So when were we taken out into an overflowing salvation? Bimei Haman, in the times of Haman, Hashem saved us. So that's how he would introduce it. The 8th introduction is that of Rabbi Yochanan. Patach la pitcha laha parshta. He opened up the parsha, mehacha, from this verse, which is Tehillim Tzarichet. And he quotes, Zachar chazdo ve'emunato levet Yisrael, ra'u kol afsei aretz, eit yeshuat Eloheinu. He remembered his kindness and his emuna, his belief in us, to the house of Israel, that the entire world saw the salvation of Hashem our God. So the Maharsha points out that Chazdo refers to the sinners in that generation, that Hashem gave them chesed. Emuna came to the righteous, like Mordechai of that generation, who were trusted by Hashem. Beit Yisrael, he said, is specifically a reference to the women, because there is a teaching early in Shemot that when Hashem taught the Torah, it says, Kotomar Levet Yaakov, that you should teach it to the house of Jacob, v'taged livnei Yisrael, and then you should tell it to the children of Israel. We learn that one is the women and one is the men. So he says here, Beit Yisrael is really meant to be Beit Yaakov, and referring to the women, since Esther is the one who saved the Jewish people. But the part that the Gemara is interested in is the fact that it says the entire world witnessed the salvation. Eimatai, I'm at the end of the first wide line. Eimatai ra'u chol afsei aretz et yeshuat Eloheinu. When did the entire world see the salvation of our God? Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther, in the times of Mordechai and Esther. That's when everyone, the whole world that Ahasuerush ruled, saw how Hashem saved the Jewish people. Okay, the 9th introduction is from Reish Lakish, Patachla pitchala ha parshita mehacha. He derives it from this verse. And this is a verse in Mishle, chapter 28, verse 15. Perek chafchet, pasuk tet vav. Ari nohem vidov shokek moshel rasha al amdal. The lion, I don't know if this roars, he makes some kind of lion, breathing lion sound. If you've ever seen a lion, they make these sort of breathy roars. And a bear who is looking for food. The wicked person was ruling over a poor people. That's what this verse says. So he says, Ari Nohem, the lion is Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, Dichtiv ba Allah Aryeh Mesubcho. In the fourth chapter of Yirmiyahu, Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, it describes the one who came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash as a lion who comes out of his lair, and that is Nebuchadnezzar. The Dov Shokek, the bear, Ze Achashverosh, this is Achashverosh, Dichtiv ba, as it's written in the book of Daniel, Va'aru cheva acharit inyana. Daniel saw a vision of four beasts, and the second beast was the second beast, the tin, which is va'aru cheva achari. Another wild animal appeared. Tinyana means second. Damya ledov, that appeared like a bear. So the second of the wild animals that he saw looked like a bear. Vitani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef learned, Elu Parsim, these are the Persians. Achashverosh was a Persian king. She'ochlin v'shotin kadov, they eat and they drink like bears, which is apparently in copious quantities. U'mesurbalin basar kadov, and therefore they are surrounded by a layer of fat like a bear is. U'megadlin se'er kadov, and they're extremely hairy like a bear. Ve'ein lehem menucha kadov, and they never rest, like a bear is constantly prowling and moving. They never sit still. So the Persians are like a bear. Therefore, the Dov Shokek refers to Achashverosh, who is a Persian king. Who is the Moshel Rasha, the wicked ruler? Not Achashverosh, but Zehaman. It was Haman who was the ruler, in fact, de facto, of the empire. He was the wicked ruler. And the Amdal, Al Amdal, the poor nation, Elu Yisrael, these were the Jews, the Israelites, who were the poor nation. But what made them poor? Shehem Dalim Min HaMitzvot. They were poor of mitzvot. It just wasn't that they were poor because they suffered and they had anti-Semitism. They were poor because they lacked mitzvot. And this is a theme that we find often in the Gemara's discussion of Purim, that there is a double-sided sword. On the one hand, Hashem, who was hidden, came forth to save the Jewish people, and therefore it's a celebratory holiday, and all of the happy and fun things about Purim, that we were saved. However, the rabbis are of two minds about this. They're also quite skeptical about it. They looked at this generation of Jews who lived in Persia, and they saw that they were not very religious Jews, that they did not connect to God. It wasn't just that God was hidden from them, it's that they were hidden from God. And they did all these things that brought the threat of Haman down upon their head. They were very poor as far as doing mitzvot and learning Torah. So the rabbis are not happy with the generation, even though they are happy with the fact that Hashem saved the Jewish people. Okay, the 10th introduction is Reb Elazar. This is now, I'm now in the fifth wide line. Rebbe Elazar patachla pitchala ha-parshita. Rebbe Elazar opens up his drasha with vit mehacha, from here. And he's quoting a verse from Kohelet chapter 10, Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Chet, the 18th verse. Ba'atzaltayim yimach ha-mekara, with laziness the roof collapses, uveshiflut, and shiflut edayim, and with not using your hands correctly, yidlof habayit, the house falls down. So this is a warning from Kohelet that if you don't constantly pay attention, if you don't have constant vigilance, that things will break down. So what is this atzlut? Bishvil atzlut, this laziness, shahaya lahem liYisrael, that the Jewish people had, shelo asku b'Torah, that they did not study Torah. Na'aseh sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach, they became the enemies of the Holy One, and they became poor, or mach. Mach, we were saying, yimach hamikara, means that the ceiling sags or falls down. Ve'ein mach ela ani, but mach always means a poor person, as it says, ve'imachu me'erkecha. If a person becomes poor, then they have to be sold into servitude to work off their debt. So what we're saying here, again, similar to what we said before, is the Jewish people did not learn Torah, and therefore they opened themselves up because of their laziness in learning Torah to becoming punished by Hashem. The Ein Mikareh, the one who is the roofer, who lays down the roof beams, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's that abbreviation. Hey Kuf Bet Hey is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Shenemar, as it says in Barchi Nafshi, which is Psalm 104, Tehillim Kuf Dalin, HaMikarev HaMayim Aliotav, the one who lays down the roof beams on the water. That's Hashem. So basically, we're saying that the Jewish people of that generation were lazy about learning Torah, and therefore their spiritual house, so to speak, began to collapse. The 11th drasha is from Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Patach la pitcha laha parshat ha-mehacha. He opens his discourse from here. Shir HaMalot, this is Tehillim Kuf Chav Dalet, 124. There's a whole series of psalms that begin with Shir HaMalot, songs of ascent. They were set on the steps going up from one part of the Beit HaMikdash to the other part. Lulei Hashem Shahayalanu, if Hashem had not been with us, Yomar Na Yisrael, says Israel, Lulei Hashem Shahayalanu Bikum Aleinu Adam, if Hashem had not been with us when a man came over us, you know, when a man tried to rule us. Adam, it says, when a man tries to rule us, Velo Melech, not a king. Therefore, we see that what this verse of Tehillim is talking about is how Haman, who was not a king, he was just a man, came over to rule us. And if Hashem had not been with us, we would have been destroyed. The 12th drasha is from Rava. Patach la pitcha laha parshat ha-mehacha. He opens up his drasha from here. This is a quotation from Mishlei, Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 2, Perek Chavtet Pasuk Bet. And it says, Birvot Zadikim Yismacha'am, with a multitude of righteous people, the nation rejoices. Uvim shol rasha, but with the rule of a wicked person, ye'anach'am, the people groan with despair. Birvot tzadikim yismacha'am, when are the people happy? When there's a tzadik ruling them? Zem Mordechai ve'Esther, the tzadikim are Mordechai and Esther who ruled them. How do we know that they were happy? Dichtiv, as it says in the Megillah, when the Jewish people won, ve'ayir Shushan tzahala v'samecha, the city of Shushan was happy and celebrated. Uvimshol Rasha Ye'anacham, but when the wicked ruled them, they groaned. Zehaman, this is like Haman, because when Haman instituted his plan to destroy the Jewish people, it writes in the Megillah, via Ir Shushan Navocha, the city of Shushan was perplexed, confused, and unhappy. So that's how he begins his drasha. The 13th drasha is from Rav Matna. Rav Matna Amar Mehacha, he quotes a verse from the Torah. It's Dvarim Dalet Chet, chapter 4, verse 8 of Deuteronomy. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. For who is this great nation that Hashem is so close to them? And that's how he learns it. Let's just look up that pasuk for a second. Dvarim Dalet. Dalet Chet. Lost my place. Okay, actually, let's move on from there. That's what he says, that this great nation that Hashem was so close to him, that refers to the Jewish people in the time of Purim. The next one is Rav Ashi. This is the 14th one. Amar Mehacha, he also quotes a verse from chapter 4 of Devarim, but verse 34. And that verse says, they don't quote it here in the Gemara, so I'll quote it for you. O Hanisa Elohim, has Hashem tried Lavola Kachat Lo Goy Mekerav Goy, to take a nation out from another nation with signs and wonders and with war, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, etc., etc. And it quotes specifically there that it's like Hashem did to Mitzrayim. But here he's saying that there's some similarities between the way that Hashem saved the Jewish people in Mitzrayim and the way he saved them in the time of Purim. I know what I forgot to say about Rav Matna. Let's go back just a little bit to Rav Matna. In Rav Matna's pasuk, the end of the pasuk, after it says, Kimi gagodola shelo Elohim krovim elav, it says, Ve'ein kon... No, sorry, that is the next one. I'm sorry. I just confused you for no reason. Let's go on. The next section is a little bit confusing. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines down from where the lines get wide. Now, what it says here in the Gemara is Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, Amar Rav, Vay, Vayhi, Hada Dichtiv. I would put parentheses around all of those words. They are in the wrong place. They belong later down in the daf. You can see exactly why the mistake might have been made. But according to the Gra, these words should not be here. We'll get to them a little bit later. Instead, the words that I wrote according to the Gra on the side of my Gemara are like this. Rav Amar Mehacha. Rav opened up his discourse from the following verse, and this is the 15th one. And I skip all the way to the next line, where it says, "Vihit makartem sham loivecha," and you were sold there. You were sold there to your enemies, la'avadim v'lishvachot, for servants and for maidservants. And then the words that it doesn't quote, which are very important, is ve'ein koneh, and no one would buy you. So Rashi has a quote here that Haman made a decree that no one could buy Jewish servants. Could buy Jewish slaves. So they were caught in limbo. Even if they had, the only way they could support themselves was to sell themselves because they were being discriminated against. No one would even buy them. So they had no recourse at all. What he's saying here is that they were in a terrible shape where they couldn't even be slaves. Okay, Ushmuel Amar, this is the 16th. Lo ma'astim velo ga'altim l'chalotam. Now Shmuel takes a different track here. This pasuk is from Dvarim. It's from Vayikra, chapter 26, verse 44. Vayikra perek chavav, pasuk mem dalet. And Shmuel says, Hashem will never really get rid of us. Even if Hashem gets angry with us, lo ma'astim, he will not really become disgusted by us, v'luga altim, and not loathe us, l'chalotam, he will never finish us off. And the verse goes on to say, l'hafer briti itam, he will never renege on his covenant with us, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am Hashem your God. In other words, I will be Hashem your God forever, no matter what. I'll never give up on you. So the Gemara interprets each time of Hashem not giving up on them in a different way. Lo ma'astim, I will not become disgusted by you. Bimei Yevanim, this is in the time of the Greeks. V'lo ga'altim, I will not loathe and despise you. Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, this is in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, in other words, when the temple was destroyed. Now, it happens to be that this is kind of historically out of order. The Greeks were the second temple. Nebuchadnezzar was the first temple. So there is a version, it says in Dukduke Sofrim, that instead of writing Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, they wrote Bimei Vespasian, which is Aspasianus in the Gemara. But that because of the censor, because of the anti-Semitic authorities that were looking at the Talmud, they changed it from Vespasian to Nebuchadnezzar so that they wouldn't burn the Talmud. So the original version wrote Vespasian, which connects with the Greeks because they're both in Hellenistic times. L'chalotam, to wipe them out, is bimei Haman, in the times of Haman, because Haman wanted to wipe out the Jews. L'hafer briti itam, to negate or cancel my covenant with them, bimei Parsim, this is in the time of the Persians, which sounds like the same thing. It sounds like the time of Haman, which is a little strange. Ki ani Hashem Elohehem, I am Hashem, their God. This is bimei Gog u'Magog, meaning all the way even until the future, until the final war of Gog u'Magog, when the Mashiach comes, Hashem will still be our God. So in all the previous historical times, Hashem didn't give up on us, and he won't give up on us even in the future. Now we have one slightly different version of that. That was Shmuel's version. But Matnita, in a different Mishnah, Tana, it learns like this. Lo ma'astim bimei kasdim. When it said, you shall not will not loathe them, is in the time of the Kasdites. Shemati lahem Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah, in which at that time when the Jewish people were suffering because they were, were not doing mitzvah and not learning Torah, I brought for them leaders, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, to help them. V'lo ga'altim, and he will not, despise them, bimei Yevanim, in the time of the Greeks. Shemati lahem Shimon HaTzadik, v'chashmonai Shimei ubanav umatitya kohen gadol. This is the Hanukkah story in the time of the Greeks when they were suffering anti-Semitism. I gave them Shimon HaTzadik, who was the last man of the Great Assembly, the first Tana, according to some, and the Chashmonaim, that's Judah Maccabee and his band, and Matityahu, his father, who was the Kohen Gadol. All of those were brought in the times of the Greeks. L'chalotam, to wipe them out. Now, this one is the same as the earlier drasha, Bimei Haman, in the time of Haman. Shemati lehem Mordechai ve'Esther, that I established Mordechai and Esther over them. L'hafer briti itam, to cancel my covenant with them. This is Bimei Parsiim. At least that's what it says in our Gemara. But Dikduke Sofrim replaces the word Parsiim with Romiim, the Romans. They just, again, because of the Roman censors, who wanted to censor the Talmud, they changed it from Rome to Persia. Shemati lahem shel beit Rebbe v'chachmei doro, because he established there Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who wrote the Mishnah, and the wise men, the sages. So that makes sense that it would be the second temple, not the first temple. Ki ani Hashem Eloheihem, because I am Hashem their God. Le'atid lavo, that's the future. In the future, she'ein kol uma v'lashon, no nation and no language, yicholah lishlopahem, will be able to rule over the Jewish people. Okay, so that was the 16th. This is the 17th and 18th are the last two drasha openers. Rabbi Levi Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Levi would open up his drasha with the following verse: V'im lo torishu ed yoshvei haaretz, if you will not inherit the dwellers of the land. What we're talking about here is the commandment. This is from Bamidbar, Lamed Gimel Nun Hei, chapter 33, verse 55, and it's arguing, this is the source, that it's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel, that the Jewish people had to conquer the land of Israel and remove the current inhabitants or make peace with them in order to live there. And he warns them, if you don't remove them, if you don't take over the land of Israel, they will become thorns in your sides and prickers in your eyes. So he says this is referring here to Shaul, who was supposed to destroy Amalek, and he didn't. He had mercy on Amalek, and he didn't destroy them. And therefore, the descendant of Amalek, Haman, came back to become a thorn in our side later in the future. So again, here is a sort of a cautionary tale that we have to follow what Hashem tells us to do, or we will suffer. Finally, the last one, Rabbi Chiya Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Chiya says from here, this is the next verse, actually. It's the verse following the verse we just learned. V'ayah, Hashem says, if you don't remove them, not only will they be thorns in your side and stickers in your eyes, V'ayah, kasher dimiti lasot lahem, that which I imagined I would do to them, that is, kick them out of the land of Israel, e'eseh lachem, I will do to you. So whatever bad things were supposed to happen to the enemies of the Jews will actually happen to the Jews themselves. The Marsha points out that this can happen in reverse, meaning in a situation like Haman. Haman thought he was going to hang Mordechai, and he became hung himself. He thought that he was going to set up a situation where they would wage a war on the Jewish people and destroy them, and instead the Jewish people waged a war on them and destroyed his supporters. So that sometimes when things can boomerang, or they can flip over to the other side if you don't follow the plan that Hashem has set. Now we're going to stop here, but I want to just point out as we begin the next recording that section that we skipped before, where it said Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, this is where it should be inserted right here. So we'll do that at the very beginning of the next recording. Have a wonderful day.